This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. This is Baseball Outside the Box with Peter Caliendo. Innovative thoughts from baseball's best coaching minds from around the world. Brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. Now your host, former USA Baseball National Team Coach, Peter Caliendo.
Welcome to Baseball Outside the Box. I'm your host, Pete Caliendo. This is the show that hosts many coaches and experts from around the world, and we are the show that love to challenge the status quo. Welcome, everybody, from around the world and in the U.S. We have a special show for you today. The show is going to be in Rome. Yes, we were just in Nettuno, Italy. We were doing a camp for players and coaches, and then we came over to Rome. In Rome, we have the World Baseball Softball Confederation Tournament Committee meeting, which will be going on here on Saturday all day, and then that'll be exciting. We'll get to see a lot of our great friends from around the world, and a special treat for you. We're going to get right to the show. We're not going to waste any time. We'll talk at the end about some things, but right now we're going to bring you two national team coaches from around the world, one from Italy and the other one from Canada. I'll tell you briefly about them, then we'll get going. We'll talk about managing. We'll talk about what the difference are in managing a national team 15, 20 years ago compared to now. So let me introduce our two guests. First, Beppe Gulazione from Italy, former national team coach for the Italian national team and also director of coaching with the Italian Baseball Federation, where he coaches all over Italy and also in Spain. And then Jim Bamba, former national team coach for Baseball Canada, and now he's the executive director of Baseball Canada. So both of these guys have tremendous amount of experience. I mean, we might be talking about over 80 years of experience in the game of baseball when we combine them all. And again, I'll let them tell me I was wrong, but not that they look 80, they're real young, but they got a lot of years of experience, I can tell you that. And it's a pleasure because I've known them for a long time, been able to work with them in baseball a long time, have learned a ton from them, not just from the baseball side, but also the technical side in our area. So first of all, I'd like to welcome Beppe Gulazione to Baseball Outside the Box. How you doing, Beppe?
Thank you very much for your comment about my age.
Age means experience also.
Yeah, age means years, months, days. Yeah, I'm very glad to be here to talk with you.
Thank you, Beppe. And also Jim Bamba from Canada. Jim, how you doing, buddy?
Thanks, Pete. Thanks for having me, and look forward to the discussion we'll have on baseball. And it, you know that that's one of our favorite subjects, and when we are together, we talk baseball all the time, so we should have podcasts going all the time.
I'll tell you what, this could be a 10-hour podcast with the passion around this table, the passion for the game, the love of the game. I mean, you just see it. And we're talking about two countries that have been playing the game quite a few years that have done really well in their perspective areas. So we're excited about talking about it. Before we do, we just want to tell you, we're in Rome and we are at the Ritz. Now, it's a beautiful hotel. It's not the Ritz-Carlton, but it's the Ritz downtown in Rome, and it's really beautiful. So we're excited to be here also. So thanks to the hotel. Thanks to the WBSC for hosting, obviously, the meetings here. So let's get started. It's interesting. The first thing I'd like to talk about, I think that would be great to just to start with. And Jim, I'm going to start with you. Get a perspective. You know, you've been managing and coaching a long time. I kind of like to get an opinion of what you see the difference where the game's changed compared to when you were managing, whether it be the national level or anything else, and now.
Yeah, I think probably one of the key factors as far as a national team and the formation of national teams today compared to when I was coaching is the ability, especially at the senior national level or the Olympic team level, you're now allowed to use pro players. And that started in 1999, and both Beppe and I go in our coaching as far as with the national teams well before that. And that's quite a difference. You know, before we'd have to take college players or what we had in our country's senior ball players that had played through the system and were pretty good good ball players, but maybe never got a touch of the pros. So it was either guys that never went that route or that guys were in college. And that was kind of the nucleus of our national teams. And you'd try to compete with the Cubas of the world back then in the 90s and in the late 80s and 90s with the, you know, the Kindlins and the Gurriels and the Linares is all in those teams. And you're throwing college-age baseball players against them and trying to compete. And it was pretty hard. Now, since the pros have all come on and you're able to play in the since 1999, I think the senior level of baseball is a lot more competitive, especially in the Americas. It's a lot more competitive. All of us are able to form a lot better teams that compete. And you know, just an example of that, in 10 years' time, we've won the last 10 years we've won a couple bronze medals at the Worlds. We've also won two Pan Am Games championships the last two. So I think that's the difference. We've been able to put some really good players. I also think we're doing a lot better job of developing coaches, mm-hmm. which leads to hopefully better players. We're putting more players in the pro route, so they're getting higher in the game. So I think combining all of that is the change you see on our mm-hmm. national team.
And we're going to talk about some of these programs that are helping develop the sport. Beppe, Italy, has been, it's been extremely strong in Europe when it comes to national teams. The Dutch, the Italians have been really yeah. strong. What's some of the differences that you're seeing in the game when you manage them now?
I fully share what Jim said. I was coaching Italy at the end of the 70s, and I was coaching Spain in the middle of the 80s. Hmm. First of all, in Europe, there is no at that time, there was no professional player.
Right.
Not playing in the national team. There was no professional player at all. Nowadays, we have at least 90% of the players playing the top division that they are paid to play. Hmm. When I was coaching, nobody was playing.
That's a big change.
So no professional, mm-hmm. number one. Number two, in Europe, we play only in the weekend at that time. Maybe two games on Sunday. And then you go to international competition and you play 7 days in a row. So rotation of the pitcher, number of pitchers, there were not so many tools like today, guns, computers, records.
Technology.
Technology rules.
Yeah.
IBF rules were very different from WBSC rules. They are taking care about the fact that you have also professional player with some limitation of number of pitches. So changed a lot from that time to today. But the biggest difficulty that I had coaching, particularly when I was coaching Spain, is playing one game a week, maybe two games a week, and they play every day for 1 week. So big difficulties. Yep. And when, like Jim said, you have got to play against, I remember, against player that already signed as a professional player. Like I play in Japan against United States, the starting pitcher for Frank Viola. And he already signed. And the year after, he was a professional. And I had on the mound players that, as I said, playing one game a week, non-professional. Oh, against Cuba at that time. It was mentioned Gurriel.
Yeah.
All the players that of the national team were so high level that it was really very difficult. Nowadays, in Europe, we play more games a week.
Mm-hmm.
We play some games during the week, so we are more used to have many games in a short period of time, and we can have professional players. Certainly, Italy, Holland, Spain is more difficult than United States or Canada or where there is professional baseball. We have to call players from there to play here. So sometimes they have to choose if to play with certain special rules about the father, the grandfather, the Italian origin to play the national team. You have the local rules, the country rules, and you have the WBSC rules to meet, so it's more difficult than to collect players in the United States and Canada.
Right, right.
But certainly it's more possible as before, and we had a pitcher like Grilly on the mound. You can see the difference
in your team.
You can see the difference of today. I had at that time Mike Romano against the United States or against Cuba. Mike Romano, yes. He learned to play baseball in the States when he was a kid, but then he came to Italy, and so this was his experience. To have Jason Grilli on the mound is a very big difference.
Now, let's go ahead, Jim.
Just let me add something, too, as well, Pete, and I think it's quite a difference in our program as well as in Canada's. We've really bought into developing our 18U team as well that plays at the WBSC 18U teams. And I think other countries are doing a lot more of that as well because that's a team we can put together. They don't have their pro commitments, and we're able to train them and do different things with them. In fact, our team, we sometimes have events that total about almost 60 to 80 days of competition with our national, what we call our junior team or 18U team. So I think that's another big difference in the development. It starts them on their path first off, because what they are used to when we went to the 18U event before was go to an event, get picked from that event, do a 5 or 6 day training thing, and then you're off to a world championship. Well, yeah, you compete, but you know, you haven't trained, you haven't built that team atmosphere. Now with what we're doing, we can at least feel we're very competitive on most years as far as in the 18U, and plus now we've got them in that atmosphere or in the Baseball Canada tent we talk about, that they'll want to come back and play for us when they get to the pros or go through their colleges. They'll come back and hopefully play. And I guess the third thing that I want to bring up, sorry to you know, dominate the conversation is also this: the difference when we coached is now there's females playing, and females playing at a very high level. Right. Now we have national teams, and I'm so proud that, you know, Canada hosted the first one in 2004, and now we've been at every event. The first one was in Edmonton.
Oh, in Edmonton, yes.
We hosted it, and you know, and we've hosted it a couple times now, and it's taken place, and it's gone, you know, all over the world. And the U.S. just hosted it, and I think that's great for the development of the game.
Absolutely.
And you're starting to see more countries come on board, and that's great for our sport as well, because the female players want to play. They don't have to be a certain level. They just want to play the sport, and we're giving them the opportunity. And you saw at the World Cup this year how great the competition was at the top end, and you know, Japan did win their fifth title in a row, but they had some very competitive games along the way, and hopefully all the countries are starting to catch up to them, and it'll only be better down the road as well. And I'm quite happy with where the female game has got. I know we've got a long way to go, but all of that is a difference as far as coaching and managing at the national team levels. We all have to do a lot more work, and we've got a lot more teams to be involved in, and sometimes you can't be in them all.
Mm-hmm.
And that, I think, that takes place, and for a number of countries, we can't all go to the 15U and the 12U and still do a good job at it. So you have to pick and choose what you can be good at. And
I fully agree with Jim said. Even in Europe, that is quite different. Okay, the organization and so on. But at that time, when I was coaching, we only play European and world competition at the senior level.
Hmm.
And nowadays we play under 12, under 15, under 18, under 23, and then senior level. We have 3 players of the Italian national team now that are so playing in Taiwan when they were under 12. So the experience to train, maybe now not for 3 or 4 days, but maybe for 3 or 4 weeks, and then go to a competition when you are under 12, then under 15. So there is really a different impact to the game of the senior division.
Okay, before we get to, because I wanted to ask a little bit about the strategy of the game and the differences you saw in the strategy. Before we get to that, since we brought up the national team programs, there's a lot of countries going to be listening, you know, that maybe don't have the experience that both Italy and Canada have. So let's talk about if you have a national team program right now, okay, or a program in general in one country, what areas are so important to develop to make sure that your national teams are strong? Where does it all start?
Well, I would say there's 2 key areas, Pete. Mm-hmm. I think you've got to have a strong base. Like, even if you look at it, and I'm going to bring up the female national team program. Right. It was easy. We kind of start at the top. Let's put a bunch of girls on teams and play the national team level. But for many of the countries, they didn't have the base, which is the grassroots baseball, to draw from and keep drawing from. Japan did a great job. They have their own little professional league, and they have all this other stuff that was happening on the ground level to supplement that league. And, you know, a lot of us are still trying to catch up in that area as far as developing the grassroots level. Yes, we've had our national teams, but you need that base to fill the top end. So that would be one structure, and or one part of it. And the second part that I'd say is the coaching. If you don't have the coaches developed to deliver good grassroots programs and give them a base to work on, or even to have good national team programs, they're going to fail. Eventually, they'll fail. You might have some good success because you have some good athletes every once in a while. But if you don't have some good coaching along the way, you're not going to have developed athletes.
And Beth, I ask that because a lot of, as you know, a lot of national teams or programs, they concentrate at the high level because they need to win so that way they can get funding. But then sometimes they forget about the base.
Yeah.
Yes, and the base is built from the early beginning. We were talking today about some practice that I see of young kids nowadays.
Yes.
6 years old, 7 years old, they coaches have to learn that a wrong mechanics learned at that age, you put in your computer and you keep forever. Nowadays, with videos, with convention coaches, with the computer,
technology,
it's much easier for every coach in the world to learn.
Sure.
At that time, when I was coaching, I was learning for the other coach that was coaching the year before than me.
Yeah, we didn't have internet and all that.
Yes, yeah. Then we started going to the ABCA coach convention in the United States. If you remember, we made groups of Italian coaches going there.
Yes.
Some of those coaches are coaching today, and they have more experience than when I was coaching. So you cannot build a good mechanic of a player when he is 18 years old. It's too late. So, and at that, when I was coaching, we didn't know how to do it. Yes, we were looking, maybe some American coaches coming from some area, some college coaching in Italy, we are trying to stealing from him.
Sure.
Nowadays, you have a lot of tools to learn. But you have to do it. You have not to be happy just to win the game when he's 8 years old, because if he's winning game, because he's a strong kid, but with bad mechanics, when he will be 20, he will be a very bad player, because he had other strong players of the other national team with good mechanics.
Yeah.
So it's very, very important what Jim said about how to build the players and the structure.
And from the bottom and the top. So since we're talking about that, because you brought up a topic to my heart, which I've talked about on the show before, and that's coaching. So let's talk about your two countries, because, and I'll start with Jim, you both have coaches programs, have had coaches programs for many years. So talk a little bit about your coaches program and the impact that's made in getting kids to play the game and getting kids to stay in the game.
Yeah, I think Pete, you just said it right there. We have the National Coaching Certification Program in Canada. It was developed by the CAC. You had to become a part of it. It kind of forced you to really look at your sport, and we have. And we had the program when I got there as far as an employee with Baseball Canada, but we've adapted it. And you have to adapt it to the times, where we've got a good portion of it online. We develop learning facilitators, which are the instructors for the course. A lot of the material they can get from the online. We've got portfolios all online. All these types of things can be delivered. Yes, there's in-class sessions as well that we do, but it gives the coach the opportunity, if he just wants to be a grassroots coach, there's that level for them. If he wants to be a provincial or maybe even go to the national, our national championships, there's a level for him to take in which number of courses. And then if you want to become a national team stream type coach, there's levels and expectations that you have to take to become that. And I think what it's done, especially at the young level, is give a base to the coach. The coach needs a starting point, and you know, instead of going to sign up as kid and then finding out they didn't have a coach, and now he kind of put a check mark down on that he might help out, and all of a sudden he's handed a bag of equipment. Well, it doesn't occur like that hardly anymore in Canada, because people are prepared, and the associations now pay a lot of the play in a lot of the places for the coach to take some of the certification, at least get a starting base. So I think that NCCP program, and for an example, has been great for us. For an example, we think about every year we put through almost 5,000 coaches in, have take some form of training, whether it be the initiation stuff or onto pitching and catching clinic or onto strategy clinic or whatever. There's some type, wherever they are in the ladder, there's 5,000 different training.
Where would Baseball Canada be if you didn't have a coaching program?
I don't know. I think it kind of, even though it was kind of forced from above that you needed it, I think it's really helped to maintain, first off, the growth and to keep kids in the game. I think that's all part and parcel of it. We need to do probably a better job of reviewing kids that leave our sport to find out why they did leave. But I know before some of the factors were coach was not very good.
Yeah.
But I don't think we get as much of that anymore. Maybe they've just chosen other sports or whatever. But that's a key factor for us to find out more of why coaches or why players would leave. And if it is in the coaching area that some of that, then that tells you we still got some work to do to make sure that coaches, you know, abide by kind of our rules. And it's not all, as Beppe said earlier, it's not always about winning at 8 and 9 years old. It's about giving every kid a chance, giving the opportunity. Yes, I don't think you ever go out to play a game and think about that, well, we're going to lose this one on purpose. But it's about still developing our kids and allowing them the opportunity. And if you do lose, it's not the end of the world. He's a long ways from the Major League Baseball.
Exactly.
His job is to have fun.
And Beppe, you headed up the program in Italy, a coaching program.
When we started coming to the ABCA Coach Convention, at that time, the federation, but not only in Italy, also in the rest of Europe, the federation had always the coaching association within the federation, always. But at that time, was just paperwork, making registration, doing some book every year. But when we went to the ABCA Coach Convention, we learned how it was important to have good instruction to the coaches. So we started to make convention also in Italy, calling great coaches from the United States, even from Japan, to teach to our coaches how to teach. And at the beginning, it was just for the senior level, but then we brought also speakers for the youth level, what to teach at a certain age, at a certain category, 8 to 10, 10 to 12, 12 to 15, which was the approach, what we had to teach. So by increasing the quality of the coaches, we increased the quality of the Italian baseball.
That's excellent. And at the same time, I'm sure, I think I have the answer. I know the answer to this because I know you guys. I'd say over 90% of your coaches are volunteers.
Yeah, it's there is a few more paid positions than there used to be.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, there's programs that run individual programs and
sure.
collect fees.
But the majority.
But the majority are just volunteers.
Volunteers.
Yeah.
Which makes it a whole different ballgame, because this isn't something they do for a living.
Yeah.
And to have that support by the federations, by the Italian Federation, Canadian Federation, that's a big support for these people, because remember, as you know, people around the world, they don't do this for a living, so it's a lot harder for them.
Yeah, and then the person that wants to go a little further and go that other route,
and study more.
There are the programs that are year round and charge a little bit more money and have kids come and play in them, and that's where maybe they filter to as far as trying to be a more advanced coach and move up the ladder in the coaching field and make a little money on it. But majority in a minor ball situation in Canada, there's not a lot of organizations. I think it would be ideal if there was,
sure.
but not a lot have a coach developer at that grassroots level that works with five or six teams up and down their ladder. There are a few like that, and maybe get a little bit of, he's like a summer intern student type coach, and he, there are a few like that, but I think it would be a lot better if we had more like that that wanted to put in more time. So that's what you, as you said, that's why the NCCP program at least gives the volunteer coach a base.
And nowadays we have also more opportunities than what we had in the 80s or in the 70s. For example, traveling teams coming from the United States, playing against our players. We can see, and a good coach watching those games can see, which is the level of a country like the United States, for example, coming with a traveling team at 15 years old age, which kind of skills they have.
Sure.
And also the coaches and the exchange of information between the coaches coming and our coaches. You are one of the example. You came last week to talk not only with players, but also with coaches, mm-hmm. teaching to both of them. So the opportunity to learn is certainly much bigger today than it was at that time.
What advice, you both manage, you both work with coaching programs. What's some good advice you can give some of these volunteer coaches when they do get into coaching, something that they should really follow and work on hard that will make
forget
them better?
Forget about winning the games. Forget about... at that time...
And concentrate on...
At my age, I saw a lot of great prospects, Italian, destroyed by pitchers particularly, destroyed by the coach to win the game. Mm. I have one, probably a guy that you know, Dario Borghino. Dario Borghino was the best, and Stefano Manzini also, the two best prospects in the 80s as a pitcher. But for pitching too much, even when the arm was wrong, was
hurt.
But the guy of 16, 17 years old, he doesn't understand the difference between pain and damage.
Mm-hmm.
So they continue to pitch because they also want to win. But if the coach doesn't understand this and doesn't have enough experience, he destroys the pitcher, a good prospect in a young age. Nowadays, it's not happening anymore.
And that's where good education comes in.
And also, we are learning the rules, for example, from international baseball, in the number of pitchers. Relationship also with the association like Little League, number of pitchers. Mm-hmm. We are learning and we apply to our championship. So we, then the coach is also very important because he can always bypass the rules. But everything together today is much easier to have better coaches and better baseball than what we had in the 80s.
Yeah, I think a coach sometimes can be almost flabbergasted or overwhelmed a little bit when they first start.
Absolutely.
And I think the key for the point that I would bring up is I don't think you ever quit learning in this game, and that don't be worried. You've taken a few courses or whatever you've done, you've got a little bit of a base. Don't worry that you don't know it all. There's many more opportunities for you to get better at the sport. Learn from your kids. And the other thing is, I think Beppe brought up, is use the technology. It's out there, either whether you're going to go take some more videos off of your computer or off the internet to learn some more skills to how to teach, or if you're going to use your phone. I mean, we are so lucky to have a camera right in our hands at every ball practice, so we can film a guy's swing or we can film a guy's throwing action, because you don't know how much the kid doesn't realize he's doing that. I know we try to tell him over and over, do you realize you're doing that? But showing him, and then he can see himself with mistakes and you can correct quickly. I think little things like that are really valuable to a coach, knowing that you don't have it all, you can get better at it, and you can continually get better at it. Those are just the things, because the material's out there. Don't think that you have to learn it all day one as an 8 and 9 year old coach.
Now, I know it can be a long conversation, but you know, practice is very important, right? Tell our audience a little bit about some important areas when you are practicing with young kids, some of the things that they should be concentrating on and some of the things they should not worry about.
You have to realize that now I'm talking for Italy. Mm-hmm. We don't have baseball game on television,
right?
For example, so we have to teach them the best we can, but to keep in love with baseball, because they cannot see other baseball than the one that they play.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, if there is a in one team in the top division, we have a championship in the top division of 8 teams. So 8 towns are very lucky to see a high-level baseball. But all the other towns, they don't see. The only baseball they see is the one that they play. Mm. So the scope of work of the coach is very, very important. Keep the love of the game in the kid that don't see other baseball than the one that they play, but also teach them the best. And use the practice to teach them the best and to enjoy to practice.
Explain maybe just one thing or two things in practice that you did to make it fun for the kids, something you concentrated on.
Try to find in everything you teach a game.
Ah, great.
Try to find in any mechanics you're teaching
Make a game.
Between them, against themselves, against the coach.
Great advice.
Try to put something, some game in what you teach.
Yeah, kids love games.
Competition.
And they learn faster.
They love competition,
yeah,
yes.
Competition. Jim?
Yeah, I would kind of just elaborate a little bit on what Beppe said earlier. I think the one key aspect that's changed quite a bit is that I think we've got away from most of the time is where it's one guy hitting and 12 kids out in the outfield chasing baseballs.
Mm-hmm.
I think the idea now is pretty ingrained in most coaches that there needs to be sessions, there need to be 4, 5, 6 little things going on. Really make your practice worthwhile so there's kids moving and there's always ground balls going here while someone's still hitting. And, you know, you're doing it in a safe manner, but you're doing lots of activity in whatever might be your 45 minutes of drills and sessions and hitting practice. It's not just one guy hitting and 12 out there. I think that's probably one of the best things that's happened in, and let's be serious, even in Canada, that was still happening in the early 2000s.
Sure, even in the U.S.
I even see it in some programs still. You hope you've changed minds. But that's way more key as far as having those practices, especially at your U12 and below, have a lot more practices and have meaning like that, have deliverables within the practice, what you're trying to do. And I would add, like when you're doing your little things at the end with fitness and things that Beppe taught, make them fun, make them game oriented, make them chase each other, make them run. You know, they can be doing things around the bases where they're still learning cut the bases sharp and all those types of things, but they're chasing their partner at the same time. And they think they're chasing their partner, but if they do the drill right, they're actually touching the inside corner of the base and being quicker to the next base. So there's lots of ways to learn and teach this.
Something that we have to improve, probably I was talking with the president of the Coaches Association in Italy.
Mm-hmm.
Coaches, they are not paid,
right. Most
of them, but they have to learn not to be happy with what they know.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes a good coach he won 3 or 4 championships. What he knows is enough. He doesn't want to learn more. He doesn't want to change. You say to me, only one Italian coach has went to the ABCA coach convention this year.
Yes.
Before we were maybe 20 coming.
Mm-hmm.
So we are happy what we have, what we know. This is the big mistake we can do. I remember a good friend, a person that we know, all of us, John Scolinos.
Mm-hmm.
Was the coach of the decade in the 80s in the United States University.
Mm-hmm.
And he was going to an ABCA coach convention, 8 o'clock in the morning when the first speaker was talking, and leaving the last day when the last speaker was talking. One day I asked him, and say, hey, John, but you are there, it was over 80, you are there 8 hours a day. Sometimes there is speakers that, even for me that I'm Italian, they are not really very good, you know. Say, Peppy, when I go to the convention and I learn a new thing, I'm rich.
Yeah.
and he was 80 years old.
Yeah.
Wow. Coach of the decade. If I learn one thing, I'm more rich.
Wow. That's
so
awesome.
We have to teach to our coaches to always try to be more rich.
And folks, that's why we keep talking on the show about coaches' education. You can just hear the passion and also the understanding of why it's so important. Here's an issue that's happening in the U.S. a lot, and we've talked about this on the show. We're seeing a lot of teams in the U.S. play at 12 under now. So I'm going to address the 12 and under age. Play a lot of games, and now they don't have time to practice. I want you to, Jim, you can start off. Talk about why that may not be so such a positive thing to do with young kids.
Well, I think I'd mentioned it earlier. I think being able to get the skills and get the ability to play the game and all of those factors that I mentioned earlier are far more important, especially at that age. Than I know we all still want to play games and mm-hmm. we have to compete with the other group that is playing 80 games. I know part of it's the parents. We have to even educate the parents.
Absolutely.
I mean,
Excellent.
That's part of the problem. The parents think, well, I played 80 games or I did it this way. And I played games all the time, we hardly ever practice. But is that the right thing? And, you know, with development and player development and long-term development, part of the aspect is to, you know, at that age group, you should be practicing a lot more than you play. I know when you get to championships and stuff, that tends to go the other way. But at your, especially at your beginning levels of the season, there should be a lot of practices to acquire skill, to get better, to be able to play this game a lot better as you move not only at the end of your 12th year, but your 13th, 14th, and 15th year, and you don't quit.
And in your program, you teach that to all your coaches.
Yeah, yeah. We give them a development plan, what we think is the best way. Of course, they're all going to adapt it
sure.
to what they have. Not everybody can play, eight games or seven games a week either. Some of them have a good program where they know they have to practice two or three times because their program only has two games yeah. or three games a week. So now they know if they're going to do anything and help develop their kids, they've got to do something else on the practice field.
Great stuff. Pepe, on the practice, as far as kids, young kids, practicing more instead of trying to play too much.
We have a new development in Italy in the last 6-7 years.
Mm-hmm.
Before, we used it to practice indoor most of the region of the country, practice during the winter, but keeping the kids practicing for 3-4 months without games was very difficult. And you could not go, for example, in my region, north of Italy, middle of Italy, you cannot play outside, it's
right.
too cold. So, but now we have winter tournament indoor.
Mm.
Special rules, special equipment, softballs, plastic bats, special rules. And we have, all over the north of Italy, we have winter game indoor. So we practice during the week and we can have every Sunday 3-4 games because our very one game 1 hour and a half. So maybe 4-5 games. In my region, we have 18 teams playing 3 different towns every weekend from November to March.
Yeah.
So they add the training during the week and an easy game indoor on Sunday or Saturday. So this made a big improvement, not only in quality, but in quantity of the players, because they love to play.
Yeah.
So they practice, but they love to play. So, and without quantity, you don't have quality. You know
right.
that.
Right, right.
So we are increasing very much the number of players under 12, particularly under 15.
You know, that's excellent. I love to hear that because now you can take some of your practice things and actually implement them in the game and see how they do.
All winter.
All winter,
all
right.
Winter.
I love
then,
that.
Then
now,
summer and spring, then you play outside. But before, we lost a lot. With, for example, you go to the school. You go to the school and you, the very first week, maybe you have 50 kids coming, 112. But after 1 month, only practice and no game.
Yeah, no.
You have maybe
no,
if you're lucky, you have 10 or 15.
Yeah, now they're having
now,
fun. Right.
Playing every weekend a game indoor, You keep the player, and they increase because they go to school and say, oh, I did play a tournament, blah, 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 blah. And so other kids are coming. We are increasing the number of players.
That's great to know. And that's great to know for a lot of countries, both of these programs. We're learning a lot of things here. I want to get to the end of the show. We're going to talk about programs that you have in your system, whether it be, we talked about earlier about Baseball 5, Play Ball, the Winter Ball, any programs that you have other than, what, and Beppe, I think what you just mentioned now is an excellent program, so that'd be one of them. But any programs you have that are also helping develop your sport in your country?
Yeah, well, I think you mentioned some of them. We're working with Major League Baseball on the Play Ball program. We had a couple of them across Canada. It's trying to introduce the sport to, in some cases, it's players that haven't played before, and in other cases it's some that have but still want to be a part of a one-day event that Major League Baseball puts on. So we had a couple in our country. We're going to try to up that to maybe 10 different type events. They all won't be just master events where come sign up and take part in an event. Some might be already pre-planned events.
MLB Play Ball.
Yeah.
Explain. What do they do when they get there?
It's the same thing. It's kind of similar to what we talk about in a practice. They would come. There'll be different sessions. When I say sessions, there'll be a hitting session. There'll be a base running session. There'll be a skills and agilities. There'll be fielding balls. There'll be one will be outfielding. So you're constantly moving through these sessions on 15 or 20 minute
intervals. And they have players, coaches, parents.
We have everybody. Kinds of coaches out there, and then the players are moving. And I think they had 200 at the one in Vancouver that I was at, and they had about 250 at the one in Quebec City. So those will be the type of events they are. Introduce the young player, girls, boys, to the game and that type of thing. Another program we have is the Baseball 5 program. The international body has introduced that program. Baseball Canada, who's kind of an established nation playing the sport, we decided we're going to try some pilots of it. It's, it's a game of baseball where you're hitting the ball with your hand, and it's mainly played on infield, and that's kind of the game. And it's played with five players or whatever.
Which they touch the ball more, they play more.
Yeah. You're hitting it with your hand. There's no real home runs. You can't hit the ball over the fence.
Right.
You got to keep it in. There's lots of action. Throws at first, outs at second. And, quick games played. And we're going to introduce it, see how it works. We're doing five pilots with it. And then we'll get a reading if that's something that we need to even implement more. Baseball Canada has also worked with Major League Baseball and our provincial partners, and we deliver what we call as the Winter Ball program. Mm. It's kind of a program we introduce in schools. We've got all the lesson plans for teachers right from the first grade up to the sixth grade. So they've got lesson plans for each of these different age groups, and they get 9 or 10 lessons for each one of these. 4 and 5 are put together, 2 and 3 are put together. And the teacher can run a practice. We deliver a program with the teacher's manual, and it also has all kinds of, as Beppe said, squishy balls and the soft
safety balls
and safe match you can throw down. And we try to get it so that kids in school are learning the sports. With many kids, they haven't been introduced to the sport. So in these ages, between grade 1 and grade 6, they can be introduced to the sport. Maybe they'll come out and try when the regular registration happens.
Excellent.
And then the final program we have is kind of our rally cap program. It's our beginning level of baseball, 4 to 8 years old. And it's got away from 9-man baseball. It's more 6-on-6 with even a third team involved in the game who might be doing drills and skills out in the outfield. And then as we 15 minutes hit, we rotate. One comes in and plays the infield, the other one goes to hit, and the third team goes out and does the drills and skills. And you're constantly rotating, and we've implemented kind of a training session with component in it. We call it rally cap because, like judo or like swimming, you acquire your red cap or white cap based on the skills you have.
Oh, nice.
And we've incorporated different skills up the ladder that get you right from your white cap all the way up to your red cap.
And if I'm right, that program has been very successful. That's why you've kept it.
Yeah, we've kept it. And the other thing, we're we found is we're trying to compete with some other sports
that are in that hour and a half time frame.
Yep. And we were finding baseball for kids was 2 hours, for five, six-year-olds, 2 hours out on the field. So we were trying to limit it to an hour 15, maybe an hour and a half at most, get it moving, be constant, be moving on the field rather than sitting in the outfield, kicking dirt, mm-hmm. picking the grass, throwing it up in the air. And we've found it been very successful.
And you're learning and adapting every time.
Yeah, all the way through. Yeah, and it's active.
Well, I said before, one big improvement in Italy is the Winter League.
That's a great program.
Winter League.
Yep.
But we are missing something in Europe, not only in Italy, I would say in Europe. Major League is not investing anymore like they did in the past with the Envoy Coaches Program.
Mm-hmm.
Envoy Coaches Program was very important. Very important, particularly in a country where you want to develop baseball. I remember the Envoy
Coaches... And explain the Envoy Program to our audience.
Well, they sent coaches, selected coaches, applying to IBF at that time, to the World Federation, to have also coaches from the country, and paid by the Major League, and traveling around the country to teach baseball. Baseball to the players, what you do.
Sure.
But you don't do as part of the program. You do for your own decision and promotion. That was done by Major League together with the federations. They did in Iran. They did everywhere in the world. Now, because of money, now they are sending scouts to see camps of 15 years old to select the best player to sign.
Right.
Not anymore just to teach. Yeah, but the sign is very different.
Sure.
In my opinion, Jim touched the baseball five. I don't want to enter into details, but you know that one of the person, if not the person that was more promoting at the beginning, the baseball five, was the president of WBSC, that is Italian.
Absolutely.
With a little conflict with the federation.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It's always a little conflict when you introduce new things.
In your country, baseball five is not very much promoted.
Right.
But I want to talk with the president of the Italian Federation. We have to use baseball five in the school. As I said before, we don't see baseball on video.
Right.
So how a kid that doesn't know baseball can learn easy baseball five in the school?
Sure.
In a gym, no bats, the spirit of the game. I remember I went one time for IBF in Iran to teach baseball to the Iranian people. And the big success that I had, we play a game with a kickball. Was easy for them to learn. Was no bat in the hand, no technique, just learn about kick the ball and run to first base. And they knew soccer, so it was easy for them.
Yeah.
Okay, now we have baseball five. I want to talk with the President of the Italian Federation and push to adopt baseball five in the school.
Excellent. And in all countries around the world, I think you need to go to WBSC.org, check out baseball five. The video's on there. It gives you all the information. But and Beppe brought up a good point. I want to address this, Jim. You know, everybody thinks in the U.S. that all kids are playing baseball. Well, that's not true anymore. There's a lot of competition with sports, a lot of competition, new sports, and they're more exciting sports in a lot of ways because a lot of movement. Lacrosse is big. You know, there's basketball, football, hockey. Hockey's big for us. You both have major competition in your countries trying to get kids to play, and these are programs that you've had to develop because you need to attract the kids to your game.
Yeah, I think we've said it very, very early in this podcast, said about times are changing, Pete.
Yeah.
And we've got to adapt to them.
Absolutely.
And some of the, putting this stuff in there, we've got a lot of years of experience between the three of us here as far as in the game, but we have to adapt. We can't go with our old, this is the way we used to do it aspect. Yeah. We can't do that anymore, Pete. And I think that's the one thing that I think we've done a fairly good job at trying to change things. things with Rally Cab Winter, introduced new things to hopefully draw some new Canadians to the sport. Like, there's lots of new Canadians that are coming in as well, and we want to draw new people that haven't played, new Canadians, whoever, some, get more females. We're still pushing for more females to try our sport and to get, you know, help us build the base. So I think all of those are key aspects for us, you know, as far as making a change.
And you say something before about competition of also in the United States of new sports, mm-hmm. or old sports but with more participants nowadays. I have an impression coming to the United States a bit. In the past, I was using the example of the United States to talk with not baseball, sports. In Italy, saying a kid in the United States practice 4 or 5 different sports.
Excellent.
And then when he arrives to a certain age, he select the one he prefer. Nowadays, the federation, because there are many, they do not like or they do not want that their player play another sport. They are stealing players sport to sport. This is very bad.
We're totally against it.
Very bad.
We're going to talk about this. Let's continue to talk about this. And just so the audience knows, Beppe and Jim don't know this. So I want them to be aware of it. We're going to talk about this because it's a very important topic. And then the last question I'm going to ask you is just to give coaches and parents any advice that maybe something we have not discussed that can help them in coaching. That'll be the last thing I'll ask you to do personally. But let's talk about this multi-sport and why kids should be playing multi-sports.
Well, you know, we got together in Baseball Canada with Hockey Canada, Soccer Canada, and Basketball Canada and developed a little video. We each took kind of one of a upcoming star in our sport and trying to pitch this multi-sport aspect of the sport, trying different sports, because I think that's what happens with it. And I go back to the parents. I think sometimes a parent gets told that you've got to start baseball at 12 years old and continue on in that sport, or you've got to try hockey at 12 years old and do all kinds of the summer, or you're going to get left behind. I think you'll find in many cases that the person, i.e. the Wayne Gretzky's of the world, have right up until they're 15, 16, 17, 18, they're trying multiple sports, and then they find the one that they really want to steer their way to and go in that direction a little bit more, and then it'll eventually take them that's the one that, hey, they made their choice and that's the one they're going in the direction. Examples like things like Larry Walker, you know, with he talks about trying out for hockey, wanted to be a junior hockey goalie. That was kind of a sport, but eventually, you know, he got cut from the junior hockey and found his niche in baseball, and away he went, and you know, now he's almost a Hall of Famer. He's getting very close to being voted in. So you know, the aspect that you can play multiple sports, it gives you skills too, you know, like it gives you the ability to move in certain ways. If you play basketball and you're playing baseball, give you some footwork. So it's all kinds of things that are positive about it, and we really trying to stress to the parents, especially. That's why we created the video, so the parents know that in Baseball Canada's mind, we're in agreement with trying, when it's your sports time to play, you play it. And now when the winter comes, you either try basketball or you try hockey and try another sport. If you're a female, do you want to try ringette? Go ahead, try that other sport, and then move back into your sport, and eventually you'll find the one that you really, really like when you get, you know, closer to your late teens.
Excellent advice.
And you know, Pete, I would also push and tell to the coaches, they have to have more talking and participation of coaches of different sports together, because you can learn
from other sports.
What is the best to do for your sport?
Yeah.
And they are jealous one of the other. They don't like. We did an experiment in the 80s in my town. We made a newspaper, sport magazine, for all the sport together. And this was creating every week a meeting between the representatives of each sport.
Mm.
And I find out how you can learn from the other sport what is best for your sport to do it. So if I'm old now, but if I was young, I was pushing even the Coaches Association, Baseball Coaches, to talk and have meeting with other coaches of other sports to learn. Not only the players, but also the coaches.
Great advice. Love it, love it, love it. Jim, let's finish it off with, you guys have been great. You've been here almost an hour. I told you a half hour. Yeah. I didn't tell you what we were going to talk about. Folks, we don't have a script. This has all been ad lib, and it's been fantastic. And because we've got great experts here. So let's finish it off. Any advice you want to give our coaches, players, and parents anywhere around the world and in the U.S. when it comes to especially coaching the game? Just last minute advice. It could be anything that you think is important.
Well, it's more about, you mentioned as a little bit earlier about the sport has been seen its downfall a little bit in the U.S. and so a lot of, we hear reports from the WBSA about some areas of the world are down in the registration of baseball. I'd just like to let you know that we're up in Canada and awesome. Have been for past 4 years nationally, you know, as far as the registration in the sport. We had, you know, so we had free marketing with the Blue Jays and the run they had in the playoff picture a couple years back, and that really helped as well. But we've been successful with our program. I would just like to say to a parent, more so than anything, give your kid a chance to play the sport, male or female. The sport's out there. We're growing on both sides. You know, if your daughter wants to play, I have two granddaughters right now. I'd like to see them with the opportunity to play on the national team one day if they so choose. So that's the only thing I said. You know, give your kid a chance to try our sport, and I think you'll enjoy it. I think we've developed some. You know, you talk a lot on your podcast about coaching. I think we've developed the coaches, you know, over the past few years that they'll see a complete change in it, and I think you might like it from when you were a player or you played in the game.
If I want to say something to a coach. When you win a game, don't be happy because you win the game. Mm. Be happy because your kid won the game and they enjoyed to win the game. Mm. Because, you know, the Italian people, we are very individualist. We were individualist in the Middle Ages, we are today. many coaches are happy because they won the game. Mm. Particularly the youth level, be happy because your kid won the game and they enjoyed. And also if you lose the game but they enjoyed, be happy. Sometimes you see they enjoyed, they lost the game by one run, and the coach is upset because he lost the game. So this is a recommendation that if I have to give a first recommendation to a coach, be happy because your kid enjoyed and won the game.
Fantastic, man. I'll tell you what, both you guys, Beppe, thank you for being on the show.
Yeah, sorry for my English, but, you know.
The English is very good, a lot better than my Italian. I speak Italian, I think. And Jim, again, thank you for being on the show. Really appreciate that.
Thanks for having me, Peter. It was a fun hour.
Folks, this was fantastic. You're going to have to listen to this show a couple times. And one advice I want to give you that I've given you probably as much as I can throughout all the shows. You know, you talk about baseball federations especially. You know, learn from all these different federations, Baseball Canada, Baseball Italy, whoever it may be. That you never know what you can learn because there's a lot of countries out there that are forced to be creative now, and we could all learn from each other. So go out, not only learn from coaches, but learn from other federations. You know, share your ideas. Do your best you can. I want to thank both our national team coaches with a lot of experience, Beppe Gulazioni with Italy and Jim Baba with Canada. A special thank you to also Brian Crock, our producer with the Lineup Media Group. Folks, don't forget to email me, petercaliendo@att.net. Love to hear from you, and I will get back to you right away. Anything, talk about anything you like. We will have the contact information for both our national team coaches on the show notes. Please continue to spread the show all over the world because we are getting more and more listeners. I want to thank to our loyal listeners, and I want to thank our new listeners. Please spread the show through social media. You know we're all over social media. We'll tell you all about it here at the end with our producer at the end that will talk. And I want to thank everybody for listening. We are live in Rome, Italy, one of the most beautiful countries in the world, with the WBSC. Our tournament meeting is here. We've got 90 plus people here from all over the world. We're seeing a lot of our good friends. I want to thank you all. Keep coaching. Remember, baseball outside the box. And good night from Rome, Italy.
Ciao.
This has been Baseball Outside the Box with Peter Caliendo. Listen online at baseballoutsidethebox.com and subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and all major podcast outlets. Join the conversation on Facebook and Twitter. Get all of our podcasts now at lineupmedia.fm. This podcast was a presentation of lineupmedia.fm.